Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Inspire and Influence with Bree Seeley on the Bubbly Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Bree, and I'm really excited to have you join me today. Inspire and Influence features interviews with inspirational and influential women and some men, too, to highlight the positive change they bring to our world. On today's show, I am thrilled to be interviewing Sherika Ashman, founder and CEO of Seattle Space. Seattle Space offers free and low-cost support to single parents that need help with their operating costs. Seattle Space holistically empowers single parents to meet, maintain, and further enhance their familial goals for safety, support, stability, and success by providing a continuum of individualized programs tailored to addressing their needs as they define them. I am welcoming Sherika. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
It's been a really busy day. I'm happy to be on the phone with you.
Good. I just want to remind everyone when we get started with the interview, you can tweet us questions during the live interview using the hashtag InspireInfluence. So I'll be checking those throughout the show if you want to send us in some questions. All right. So I introduced a little bit of what Seattle Space is. So why don't you start off by telling us, like, what inspired you to start this nonprofit?
Living as a single parent, being raised by a single parent, seeing my sister go through cancer as a single parent, and then all of the families that I've worked with throughout my career in social work, I just see a different need that's not really being addressed, and I could no longer ignore it. And in 2013, I just started doing this, having no idea what the process is to start a nonprofit, and I'm so far in it, I can't stop. there's no looking back at this point.
So when did you said you started the nonprofit in 2013, but when did you, you had this kind of like going before then, right?
Right. So I, my ex-husband and I separated in 2006. At the time, my youngest son was 6 months old and my other son was 2. I experienced issues getting employment. I lived in a really small town. With a master's degree, it was really hard to find a job there. And things just culminated. I found a job at a radio station, but the income I was making was what I had to pay out in child care for the kids. So it just with one thing after another. And then I experienced some major medical events that, I considered myself to be a relatively healthy person my entire life, and these things happened, and it's just one thing after another. And so I remember I think it was 2008, so I was about 2 years in. I journaled a lot about my feelings because I was really isolated. I didn't have any friends there in that town because we had just moved there before the separation. I didn't have family that could help. And I really just was really on my own. And I remember scribbling out in my journal, and I think I still have it somewhere, the initial, like, what was needed, what this is what I need. I'm writing down what I need. This is what I need to look like. And I think the original name was Spark. It was like single parent action relief something. I don't know. I don't remember. And then, things started to go better. I finally got in a stable job. I finally went full time. And but it just kept nagging at me. And I started working with some single parents through a different agency. And it was right there in my face. I couldn't not do it anymore. It was just a constant nag. So
awesome.
I started.
That's awesome. So what?
Yeah.
So I know you guys help with you do free and low cost support. So what kind of support do you guys offer?
So, and really, it's just me. I have a board, but as far as the case management and the clinical, that part of it, I'm the one who does all of that. I have a waiting list. So I, you know, I will talk to people. I do an assessment with them that's pretty broad to get an idea of where they're at and what their needs are. I link a lot of people with resources just because they simply are not aware of them. And that's the easiest part about disposition and the less costly piece of operation is that it's just a matter of me being really tuned into the social network here and different services that I can say, hey, well, you actually qualify for this program where you can get this kind of help. And so that's part of it. Part of it is support. What I see mostly when I'm working with single parents is a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, and, you know, and sometimes people are recovering from things like abuse. So that's another piece there that's offered. There's a lot of programs that I want to start. That's because we don't have funding. It's not. It's impossible. But the one that I think is most important when I'm talking to parents is childcare. It's really difficult to pay for childcare for a lot of parents, which leaves a lot of them not being able to work. They can't do certain things because of hours of, you know, a job that they might have. And they might be called to be out of town, and some people just can't do that. So it keeps them from being able to advance in their careers a lot of times. And then there's things that come up that are emergency. You know, we have parents sometimes who experience, like, a medical event. You know, I'm having appendicitis, and I have nobody to watch my kid. And so they end up, you know, ignoring things that are going on with them. And then getting into crisis mode or having to take their children with them. And it's just a bad thing all around. So I would really like a program where we have child care sitters who are on call 24/7 for any kind of thing that comes up like that. People who are background check that we don't have to worry about, you know, who this person is and just saying, you know, can you be at this place in an hour or meet this parent here and take her kid so she can go to an interview, you know, things like that. Another program that I'd really like to get up and running, and again, it's just a matter of finding people, and it's just, it's a lot, is having local companies give back to the community in form of services. I'd love to get restaurants on board and say, hey, would you be willing to donate a meal a month to a single parent so she doesn't have to cook tonight or he doesn't have to cook tonight because he doesn't know how and he just needs to focus on taking care of his kids, you know, that yeah. kind of thing. You know, if somebody's car breaks down and it's a matter of my car broke down and because if I don't have a car, I can't get to work. And if I can't get to work, I've already missed so much work that I'm going to lose my job. If I lose my yeah. job, I'm going to lose my housing. So it's a snowball effect that occurs. And if we can find people to sort of give back in the community and recognize that these parents need a little bit extra, that would be fantastic. Really fantastic.
So you ahead. Say, like, you're doing this on your own right now. So how many people are you currently able to serve? How many people are currently on your waiting list?
30.
30 on the waiting list?
Yeah. I have a full-time job in medical. And so I get to help people in the evenings or weekends, and usually weekends that I don't have my own kids.
What's your capacity right now to help people? Like, how many clients do you have?
I have 5 people open, and really they're not super high needs cases at this time. I've already done a lot of work with them, so they're just sort of residual cases. But at this point, I can't open another. I mean, I have to take care of my own kids. Really, what my goal would be is if I can get funding for this, I could quit my job. Obviously, I mean, this is a job. This would be it would be full time, no doubt. I have so many connections in the community, and so many people know about it, and they're, can we refer? And I said, I can't take anybody until I get some funding. And I have that Steer College calling me. I have the University of Washington. I had somebody from Spokane call me saying, I need services. I have people in Puyallup, Tacoma. I had somebody from Trinidad and Tobago give me a call.
Wow.
I need services. And I, you know, obviously I can't offer services out of the country. So I just made her my friend, and I talked to her nearly every day, just kind of sharing advice and just trying to help with her motivation and let her know that you're not alone and you're not mm-hmm. doing anything wrong. Like, you're doing the best that you can. And, you know, every day she checks in with me and she's like, I feel so much better. And to know that there's other single parents, that it's not just me and I'm not the only one who feels like a failure. And I'm like, you're not a failure. You have to remember you're doing the job that was meant for two people. And yeah, unfortunately, it's really hard, but it does get better. It does get easier. You just got to get through it.
So you talked a little bit and mentioned funding a few times. So you are currently operating the Indiegogo campaign. How much are you raising, and what does that money go for?
So I originally had a video. I was really unhappy with it. I don't believe in failures. I believe in learning experiences, and I think that was my – I'm pretty proud of myself. It's the first learning experience that I've had since I started working on Seattle Space. My gut feeling was that I didn't like the video. I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to capture single parents as a whole. And that's really difficult because yeah. they vary, you know, from person to person and from support, you know, everywhere from what their financial situation is like to what their housing situation is like and their support system. So it's really hard to capture. And you know, the board was like, just get it out there, get it out there. And it was a total flop. Like, I put it out the first day, and it was the first, you know, it was the first time where I sat and said, what am I doing? This is too big for me. I can't do this. I need to just throw in the towel and just, you know, be it. And that lasted about 2 hours. And I was like, no, that's not who I am. No, I'm not doing that. So I just took the video off, and, you know, I look forward to this and hoping that this would do something. But, you know, I found a mentor through SCORE in Seattle that I'm working okay. with. I don't know how it's going to work out. I mean, he's giving me more assignments, which is great. I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. But yeah, everything that's been happening with this, the website, I did the entire website by myself. I am not a computer person. I just found a site where you can build it on your own. And everybody says it looks pretty nice and it seems to be working. But again, it's all out of pocket. I did the whole IRS application, which I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's huge. Had no idea what I was doing, but knew that I couldn't pay somebody to do it. And so I just tediously went through it and went through it and went through it, and just money out of my own pocket. I think it was like a $400 application fee. And I just sent it in, and they said, yeah, it's great. So.
And that was to get your 501c3 status?
Yeah, that was to get the status. I put the board together. Yeah. it's a lot. I'm hoping that something will give soon.
Yeah.
So, I'm working on some grants. And again, everything is time. It's time.
Yeah. Okay, so going back to the Indiegogo campaign, how much are you raising?
Oh, I only asked for $5,000 because I'm like, are we even going to get anything at all? I mean, if I was going to ask for what I really wanted, I would be asking for probably upwards of $100,000. But at this point, anything counts. Like, if I could pay for the phone service that I have to use to do this, or to pay for the website upkeep, which is really minimal cost, that would be great. And, you know, I've got a checking account, and I've got an accountant. His name's Shane, and he's actually is a paraplegic. He has a lot of time on his hands. He's working for his uncle part-time at a shop. So he helps with everything. But I think to just get a budget going where it's going through the account instead of just out of my pocket, so we can show what the actual budget is. I'm very frugal. I can do things very cheaply, and that's how I would like to keep things. But it's hard to ask people for money. And I think part of that is being a single parent. Like, you just learn not to ask. Like, people aren't going to help.
Right.
People want to help.
So, but they do. I've been in the same spot for a really long time. A really long time. And not, like, have received that support. And it's definitely a learning experience. I mean, I've been struggling with it for at least 4 years, and I think I'm only starting to come out on the other side of it. So what is your ideal vision for how Seattle Space impacts the community or the nation or the world, since you're getting calls internationally already? So what's your ideal vision for how?
For how this all pans out?
Yeah.
I want Seattle Space to go nationwide. I want Seattle Space, and it won't be Seattle Space. It'll obviously be LA Space and Portland Space and what have you. But I want this agency in the major cities of the United States, where people are vulnerable, where there's good jobs, so that we can provide the support to the single family. And that's, you know, what happens with that is really you're not only supporting the parent, but you're supporting these kids. These kids go without. These kids oftentimes don't get to do extracurricular activities, either due to transportation issues, availability of the parent, and cost. If they do get to do extracurricular activities, it's usually community-based stuff. If they never get to do, you know, the elite sort of sporting program. So you're missing out on helping kids achieve talent. So that's one way that it impacts. The homeless population is really, really increasing among single parents in big areas such as Seattle. Seattle is just getting really, really crazy with the housing. The housing market, it's so expensive.
I've read about this.
Yeah, it's really pushing low-income individuals out, and a majority of your low-income individuals are single parents. I purposefully just bought my own home by myself, just because I wanted to say that I could do it by myself. I do have a partner now, but it's very much separate. I think just because I don't ever feel like I want to rely on somebody, an income, you know, I need to always just make sure that I cover that myself. And so I've kept it separate for a reason. But also just to prove that it is very difficult to purchase a home, even as a professional like myself, working full-time and saving and doing these kinds of things, to buy a house in a major city. But I did it. I feel really good about that. And I want to help other people achieve those goals too, because when you don't have your own home, I mean, it's constant. Your rent goes up. You're not getting any, you don't get any credit for that. You're just kind of throwing money away each month. And they do have several programs, so that would be great, too, to keep people off of the streets. You know, that's always a good thing. But also employment-wise, I think there's a lot of single parents who are really talented who just have things in their way. You know, I was working not even full-time for quite a while because of stupid things like one of my son's school didn't start until 9:30. And it would cost me more money to put him in childcare than to just stay home and just cut my hours down. So I couldn't work full-time. Does that make sense? Like, it's just, you just have to. So I just don't think that's necessary. There needs to be more support. Does that answer your question?
Yes. We do have a question from a Twitter listener. It's from WM Happy Hour, and she says, what is the most rewarding part of this for you?
That's a really hard question. I mean, it's really hard to say one thing. I think the most is just letting somebody know that they're not alone. That, you know, when you lose it, and you feel like you're going off the deep end and your kid might see you break down, that you're not the only one and it's okay.
Good. Awesome. I like that. That's the thing to remember, you know, answer on taking care, you know? community.
Mm-hmm.
So important.
Mm-hmm.
So important.
Yeah.
So with you working full time and, you know, having two sons and running this nonprofit, what do you do for yourself so that you can stay inspired enough within yourself to go out and do good work in the world?
I try to exercise a little bit every day. I eat really, really well. I work with a naturopath. You know, I don't take any medications. Everything I do is pretty natural. And funny enough, these behaviors came out of being really poor because I figured out that being healthy and natural is a lot less expensive than trying to do well by yourself by buying product and, you know, you don't eat out. You can't eat out. You can't afford it. So it's ironic in a way, but I'm really happy with the way that I live. And I get to teach my children about taking care of themselves that way too. But, you know, I take naps when I want to. I arrange my schedule so that I have a little bit of me time. I really enjoy spending time with my kids. We just do things a little bit different. We don't celebrate holidays so much. It's not that we don't believe in things, but for us, it's more meaningful to spend that time together without commercialism and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that came out of being like really poor and not being able to do what other families do. And really, we really enjoy it a lot more. So we will save all of our money and travel. We'll go somewhere nice. We may not stay at like the nicest hotel, but we really enjoy the outdoors. So as long as we have a place to lay our heads and, you know, we're not like going to get bit by bed bugs, we're happy with that.
That's awesome.
I was just saying with the travel, people were like, how do you do that? And we've learned sort of the voucher system and of giving up our seats. And so we will schedule out like an extra day just so we can be right on guard to see if anybody's asking to give up seats. So we've actually, we've earned vouchers that way. In fact, we're going on a trip for spring break to New England off of 3 vouchers that we earned last year on a trip. So pretty excited about that.
Very cool.
We don't have a lot of toys and we don't go out to eat a lot and we don't have cable, but we're going to go on a trip. So that's a good trade-off.
Awesome. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. So what is your life motto?
I've never even thought of that. What is my life motto? I think
you,
just
or do
live
you
my
have one. Oh, go ahead.
I think just live my life in the most meaningful way that I can. And just be me. I gave up trying to please other people, and that has been excellent, by the way.
I love that.
That takes care of a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, so yeah. I know there is some time left on your Indiegogo campaign. What is the end date for that? And, you know, how can we support you in making your goal?
I think it's April 11th, I believe. I don't have it open right here. I believe it's April 11th. I think just getting the word out. And you know what? If anybody knows Adam Sandler and you can contact him.
That's
and
amazing.
Ask him. I'm always thinking about fundraisers and things that I want to do. And I actually, there's a theater here in my neighborhood that was at risk of being closed down because of funding. And I had reached out to them and said, hey, let's do something together. You know, let's raise money for it and for this nonprofit. Well, they weren't really interested. And they're, you know, they were just kind of like, whoa, what's your idea? And I said, well, Adam Sandler seems to really enjoy single parents. He's put out a lot of movies, produced them or whatever, directed them that have to do with single parents. And I am a huge fan of those movies. In fact, Just Go With It is one of my kids and I's favorite movie. And I said, how about we show some of his movies, have a live auction, we can have a comedian come in, we can, you know, have him make a visit, you know, and the lady just looked at me and she was like, do you actually know him? No,
well,
I don't.
I'm going to ask around and see if I know anyone that knows him and see if he can help you out.
I mean, there are a ton of single parent celebrities, and really at this point I'm not even shy. Like, the money that I'm asking for is probably just pocket change, and
right.
is a really good cause, and I'd really like to expand. And I not only do I need that, but I would love to have board members, more people working on committees so that we can get this stuff going. I'm only one person. I cannot continue to do this on my own, or I mean, I have to make a decision at some point. It needs to go somewhere now.
Yeah.
There's a need. The need is definitely there. It's not ever going to these callers are never going to go away. In fact, they just keep
right.
increasing it each week. So
cool. Well,
get the word out.
We can help. We're unfortunately coming to an end of our show today, but I want to encourage everyone listening and everyone that listens after this goes live to connect with Seattle Space further. You can find them on Twitter at Seattle Space One. That's number one. And you can also go on Indiegogo.com/projects/Seattle-Space-Operations-Fundraising. I will be posting it all over my social media. You can find it there. And if anyone knows Adam Sandler, please let me or Seattle Space know. We will love you forever. So I just want to say thank you one last time. It was good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I'll connect with you again in the coming days. So thanks so much for being on. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. So I want to remind everyone that you can catch Inspire and Influence now on a weekly basis. Our next show, which is next Monday, we will be interviewing Jacqueline DePaul, who is a model. She is a wonderful woman and part of the Inspirational Woman Project. Thank you so much for joining us today on Inspire and Influence, and thanks to today's guest from Seattle Space. And also a big thank you to our past guests, Emily Allen, Mama Healy, Lindsay Horvath, Sonnet Simmons, Lori Brucker, Seth Matlin, Taroya Easton, Gigi Silverman, and my Bubbly Talk Radio producer, Mela Noir. You can connect with me at BreeSealy.com, on Twitter at BreeSealy, on Instagram at IamBreeSealy, and on Facebook /Bree.Sealy. If you all check out my blog today, I did actually release kind of some important news that's coming up for BreeSealy. I am taking an extended pause from fashion. So I am releasing one last collection on my e-commerce platform this week, and after that I will not be doing fashion for a long time. So you check out the post breeseely.com/blog, and you can check out the new collection coming up this week at breeseely.com/shopfashion. You can also see all the Bubbly Talk Radio Network shows on bubblytalkradio.com and connect with them on Twitter at Bubbly Talk Radio and at Clink and Chat. You can also find our podcast now on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening, and have an inspiring Monday. I will see you all next week. Bye-bye.